Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry will share dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. This month's tape is presented by Mike Hajduk. Mike has worked within the service and trades industry his entire life. His career began early, working for his father in the family-owned service business. Upon graduation from the New York State University, Mike worked for a large building mechanical remodeler in the areas of sales, engineering, and the development of commercial service contracts. Mike later joined Lennox Industries, first as a dealer business consultant and later as the director of the business services group. Throughout Mike's career, he has had a keen interest in the customer satisfaction end of the service industry. A few years ago, he started his own company, specializing in marketing and developing systems designed to increase customer satisfaction. During today's tape, Mike will share with us some of his secrets of measuring customer satisfaction and why it's so critical to the future profitability of your company.
Have you ever driven down a pleasant country road with trees and green pastures everywhere? Sooner or later, you will probably come upon a pasture with some animals and perhaps a horse on a beautiful farm, which you think would be the absolute best place for horses to do what horses do in beautiful green pastures. All the grass and hay and alfalfa that they would ever want. Perhaps this plot of land has been fenced in with barbed wire so that these beautiful animals don't wander off and get lost or even worse, injured by walking into the path of some car or truck. But horses are like people and businesses, aren't they? Not satisfied with what is around them. Perhaps not even aware of what is around them. You see the impatient horse with his neck stretched across the barbed wire fence, risking injury, or even cutting his neck on the barbed wire just to get the few blades of fresh green grass on the other side of the fence, while standing in all the green grass that he could ever want. Sounds kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? Well, then why do so many businesses follow a similar pattern when it comes to their customers? How many times have you spent thousands of dollars on expensive electronic media or place newspaper ads in your city to add new customers while taking for granted the customers who have been giving you business regularly in the past? One reason is that we've always had an infinite growth mindset in this country. Perhaps it dates back to our pioneer roots. There's always going to be more money, more space, more water, or more land where that came from after all. Well, we have come to find out that this isn't necessarily so. There's an old saying in Texas that you can only grow an oak tree so big. What the old Texas sage who penned that saying meant is that even though some oaks grow to huge heights and diameters, sooner or later even the mighty oak tree will eventually grow at a lesser and lesser rate and level out to its normal adult size at some point. Large American corporations today are in the throes of downsizing, or a term they prefer, right-sizing their organizations, because they failed to listen to the old Texas sage, and perhaps they didn't pay enough attention to the horse who was sticking his neck out to get a few blades of grass. They didn't realize what they had when they had it. They didn't protect the book of business they had. They were so set on increasing their business by adding new customers, new products, new markets, and even new countries with whom to do business that they forgot about the customer who gave them their business last year. They went to more trade shows than focus groups. They placed more newspaper ads than conducted customer surveys. And they telemarketed for new customers more than telephoning to ask how satisfied the current customer is with the goods or services they sell. And guess what? They spent from 10 to 16 times more money to get the new customer than to keep the old one. What were they thinking? If you're going to build something, whether a house, a building, or a business, it has to be constructed on a solid base. For structures, the base has to be a footing and foundation to make sure that it doesn't fall down. For a business, the foundation is the repeat customer. I call the activities of retaining customers as a strategy for growth and profits customer marketing. In its simplest terms, customer marketing focuses on individual customer relationships to create sales. It applies to strategies of repeat customer contact and care as opposed to the more expensive mass media techniques of growing a business. From repeated customer contact comes the opportunity for additional sales, referrals, and increased profits. You must, though, come to endorse that your customer is your most valuable asset. Let me repeat that. Even though your staff is a close second, you have to believe that your customers are the most important element of your business, because without customers, even the most capable employees will have little to do. Customer marketing is comprised of several steps, which each have to occur for you to make the assumption that you can grow your business upon the foundation of your existing customer base. The first is that you have to measure customer satisfaction. Now, just what is measuring customer satisfaction? Actually, it's comprised of several things. It is asking your customers how you did each and every time your products, service, or one of your people touched the buying public. So many businesses today tell me that they send out some surveys or make some phone calls to their customers to gauge their performance. 9 out of 10 respondents tell them that they're just great, so the inquiry process tends to become more of a hassle and may eventually be stopped. After all, we're pleasing most of our customers, is what I hear. How about the ones you're not pleasing? What is the impact of the customer who tells you that they will no longer do business with you in the future, or the impact if they tell you that they will not recommend you to a friend? We're pleasing most of our customers. Let's look at those that you're not pleasing. You're losing three ways with those that you're not satisfying. First, you're losing direct revenue, cash money. No longer can you say that you are a certain volume company, because all things being equal, your revenue will be less next year, equal to the amount that the disgruntled customer has given you this year. Secondly, you aren't going to get a referral from that customer. More lost revenue. Many business people take pride in that their businesses have grown due to word of mouth and the positive position it maintains in the community. If you're not maintaining your customers, you won't have them recommending you to others either. Third, and perhaps the most damaging, is the negativity which is being spread about your company by the unhappy customer. We are a society of communicators. Our human interaction is far greater today than Charlie and Joe conversing across the back fence. We communicate more at our jobs, at our children's school activities, with our computers, at social functions, and infinitely more ways than we did just a few years ago. This is potentially the most damaging to you, because it is the venue in which many people entrust their peers to recommend the very personal services that you may be providing. If my growth strategy is to improve my business by word of mouth, don't I want to make sure that what is being said is positive and places my company in a positive light? "How am I doing?" was an expression commonly heard around New York City in the 1970s, when Ed Koch was the mayor of the huge metropolis. He frequently opened his public appearances with his inimitable delivery of the question, "How am I doing?" I don't think Ed Koch had any more talent to manage a big city government than any of his predecessors or peers, but by continually asking his constituency to rate his performance, they were sufficiently pleased to return him to office for 3 terms. When you or Mayor Koch asks the customer to rate your performance, just what happens to the relationship and the customer's inclination to do business with you again? Since so few companies today ask customers about their performance, the first impression is that you don't fear the answer. You evoke so much confidence in your service by merely asking that the customer gets the feeling that you must really be a quality company. Now that you've asked the questions, you've got to listen to the answers. You must measure the responses so that you can make improvements in your firm based upon what the customers suggest and want. When you began your company, or perhaps purchased your company, you devised products and services with the assumption that you would maximize sales and profits because you would provide what the customers want. As long as you provide what your customers want and you provide service to meet or exceed their expectations, you could expect them to continue to do business with you over and over again. Let's say that the market changes, as it always does. Take the people moving business, as the railroad industry was primarily in up until the 1950s. Did they provide the service that was desired? Sure. But did they meet or exceed the expectations of the traveling public? Well, dirty rail cars, perennially late arriving trains, outdated tracks, and poor routings sure made the airline industry look pretty enticing to the public. See, the railroads didn't listen to the public and insisted that they would always be in demand because of the history of the industry. While we in this country have supplanted rail travel with air travel, there are European countries whose rail industry is very healthy because they deliver what the traveling public wants. They listen to what their customers deem is the product desired and at the level of quality they want. How do you measure customer satisfaction? The simplest gauge of how satisfied your customers are is whether they come back to do business with you again. It may be the simplest, but the most risky. By the time your business drops off by 50%, it's too late to decide to take action and do something else. You need to measure the components of your service and products so that your customers are pleased with your company as a whole. The inquiries you make also need not be limited to the finished quality of the product. Many fine companies deliver quality products only to fail to answer the phone politely, say thank you, arrive on time, explain the charges or other peripheral but no less important to the customer. Think about the last fine restaurant you visited. Unless the chef was trained in France, you probably remember more about the clean tablecloths, the valet parking, and the impeccable service than the real quality of the food. You may not have gone there if the food was average, but the reason you will return is the experience you had overall. Regardless of the business you may be in, whether you provide an in-home repair service or own a five-star world-class restaurant, the things that may seem trivial may be the very reason people come back. It is these things that you must find out whether you are providing or whether the competition is doing a better job. Unlike Mayor Koch, not only ask the questions, but wait for the answers, then act upon them to really provide what your customers want. The second requirement of customer marketing is that you have to take corrective action to save dissatisfied customers. Did you know that a customer who has been delivered a product or service which is inferior is more apt to do business with the same company if that company corrects the problem? The TARP study commissioned by the government to find the sources of consumer complaints and how they were handled by businesses found this to be true. Think about it. If I deliver you an inferior service when I repair your car, but handle it promptly, courteously, and correctly, you are more apt to bring your car to me the next time you need service than if you went to a repair shop who repaired the car correctly in the first place. Why is this so? It's because the consumer never expected the problem to be resolved. Service has gotten so poor in this country that the average consumer is jaded into believing that once they purchased a product or service, the company delivering that product or service never really cared about what happened after the customer took delivery. What has happened to American society that has brought us to this point? I was fortunate to grow up in a family heating, air conditioning, and remodeling business in the 1960s. Now, that's really not that long ago, but our country really has gone through so much since then and perhaps changed forever. Let's think back about some of the basic standards by which we as a society conducted ourselves in business. They were taught to me then, and I think still should be taught in homes and businesses today. I call this the Customer Care Handbook. Some of the rules of the Customer Care Handbook are as old as time. Others were concepts that were presented in later years as we now know as the basics of quality. There are only five, but I believe if they were all followed in business today, perhaps the whole quality movement needn't ever have taken place. The first is, treat customer belongings like they were your own. Now, in this day and age, this may take on a whole different meaning than what was originally intended. Today, many not only treat others' things as their own, they actually become their own. Really, though, isn't this another way to express the golden rule? Treat others as you would like to be treated. It meant something then, and it does now. The next is, say thank you to your customers. They don't have to do business with you. You know, we hear this often today, but I really don't think people hear this. The customer is always right is a lost phrase. They may not be technically right about an issue, but if you treat them shabbily and don't thank them often for doing business with you, they will certainly take their business elsewhere. Thirdly, give them an honest effort for the money they're paying you. We've heard this another way. Give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. It's pertinent to your employer, and isn't the customer your real employer? The fourth customer handbook rule is, strive to be the best that you can be. In other words, do a quality job. It took many hours of thought and development by people who made tons of money, and now they have awards named after them, but it's just another way to present the zero defects practice of doing things right the first time. Finally, do as I do. My father never said this one out loud. He lived it. In fact, if you have to say these words, they really lose their impact. He was a role model for me, and in your businesses, you must be a role model for your employees. If good enough is good enough for your dealings with customers, your employees will mirror your actions. If you cheat on the time or amount of material sold to your customer, your employee will also. They may also act that way toward you as well. Unfortunately, though, we today break these rules regularly in business. When we do, corrective actions must be implemented if we expect to retain the customer. Corrective action may take many forms, including giving money back or giving the product or service for free. But the most profound corrective action involves the owner or president of the company becoming intimately involved in the remedial action with the customer. The disgruntled customer must be made aware that the most influential person in the organization is interested enough to personally become involved with their dissatisfaction. This is not a time to delegate the task of solving a company's shortcomings to a department manager or customer service person. Because of the financial and customer retention implications mentioned earlier, it is important enough for the company owner to minimize the damage that is done to the firm's reputation and welfare. When you patronize a restaurant and aren't satisfied with your meal, or if you have a complaint about your service, don't you feel that only the manager can satisfy your concerns? Your customers feel that way as well. By exhibiting personal care, you may not actually save the customer, but you may find out something about the quality of your company and could even keep the dissatisfied customer from speaking poorly about your company. The third requirement of customer marketing is asking for referrals. If you really want to build your business because of the positive things your customers say about your company, you've got to go out and ask them for referrals. The word of mouth theory is all well and fine, but you can't leave it to chance. You must make things happen. You've got to go to each satisfied customer, and once you've been assured that they are pleased with your company, the time is right to ask for a referral. The key is to assure that they are satisfied with you first. You see, people actually want to tell others about how smart they are by doing business with this company. It's like when someone buys a new car then goes around to all their friends and acquaintances touting this or that feature of the new car. What they're saying is, "Look what a good consumer I am." Now, if the experience is not good, the last thing the consumer wants to discuss is the company they did business with. In order to get a referral, you must satisfy the present customer first. Once you do, though, referrals are easy and an excellent way to grow your customer base. The fourth customer marketing requirement is the offer for new buying opportunities. When you approach your marketplace to sell your products and services, you will invariably be met with resistance which must be overcome. You may offer the very products the market desires, but today there are typically many providers of similar products and services, so that there are other reasons why consumers ultimately buy from one source instead of another. Therein lies an opportunity for the customer marketing-oriented company. Take the customer who is shopping for a new big-screen television set. He has settled on the brand because he has seen the picture quality at a friend's home and at various electronic stores within the past few months. Now comes the buying process. If the customer is aware that a certain electronic warehouse store where he purchased a computer last year, offers big screen TVs, he is very likely to strongly consider purchasing from the same place if the experience was good. Again, the chances become enhanced if the store performed the first three requirements of customer marketing. To repeat, the store should have measured customer satisfaction through surveys, taken corrective action if something along the process was not perfect, and asked for referrals. With all these being positive, the features of the TV become secondary because any number of stores can provide the product. The customer's decision becomes much easier and more skewed toward the store they did business with in the past if all the proper customer marketing steps were presented. The final customer marketing requirement is the continual and frequent contact with your customer through your employees, follow-up cards and letters, information mailings, newsletters, anniversary cards, birthday cards, and any other creative method to put something in front of the customer with your company's name on it. Jay Levinson, the marketing expert who wrote several books on marketing, stated that in order to create top-of-mind awareness for your company, you must put your name in front of the customer at least 9 times in a year's period, and that to get your customer to see that name 9 times, you in fact have to make it public at least 15 times. Think about the information overload being placed upon your customer. The average daily newspaper has several hundred advertising impressions, and consider the number of electronic messages they receive on the radio and TV daily. You, as someone who wants to make an impression on a person, must compete with each and every bit of promotional message in the media, not only with what your competition is saying, but with each and every advertiser in the market. If you're a small company, you must look at the sophistication of the message as well. Cadillac and Coca-Cola and Budweiser spend more on a typical Sunday afternoon during a football game than your company may spend in 2 or 3 years of promoting your company. If you come across as being unsophisticated and perhaps even inferior, your expenditures will be for nothing and the growth potential of your company becomes severely limited. If you are a small company, you must use the most direct means possible in attaining the 15 possible impressions so that the next time the customer needs your service, your company comes to mind immediately. Let's now briefly review the 5 steps of customer marketing. The first was that we have to measure customer satisfaction in order to find out what to provide to the market and how we are performing against the customer requirements. The second step is that you have to take corrective action to save dissatisfied customers. Left unchecked, dissatisfied customers not only don't do business with you again, but they see to it that others don't do business with you either. The third is asking for referrals, which is the word-of-mouth method of growing a business, but occurring not by chance, but by plan. Fourth are the increased selling opportunities which occur when someone has told you that they are pleased with the relationship they have with your company. And the fifth is the requirement of frequent and consistent customer contact you must attain to make a mark in the never-ending goal of top-of-mind awareness with the people with whom you do business. These 5 steps of customer marketing will help you attain sound growth and profitability in your desire to attain your personal and professional goals. You have control of your destiny if you keep your customers coming back year after year. The steps are rather simple and actually less expensive than the alternatives of losing customers and having to go out and get new ones. Only you can make the decision. Perhaps you're now convinced that satisfying your customer is the right thing or a good thing to do in the age of consumerism. Let's actually see what the return is on our investment of keeping a customer through a simple analysis of the quantifiable aspect of pleasing our customers. A comparison of 2 businesses exhibit customer retention. Our first is Company A. The owner of Company A really likes his customers, but takes a nonchalant attitude toward keeping the customers coming back. When he needs more business, he may put out a direct mail piece or call his old customers to remind them that he is still in business. He generally is liked and keeps a core of good customers, but a good number tend to turn over every few years. The other type of manager, we'll call him Company B, knows that by surveying his customers as to their feelings about courtesy, cleanliness, promptness, and fair pricing, he will know how to improve his company and get more repeat business. It's called business retention. His delighted customers tell friends, friends tell neighbors, neighbors tell coworkers, and on and on. This generates referrals. It can happen only with satisfied customers. This company loses a few customers. It's unavoidable, but not many. And those that do stay tend to stay for many years. Both companies are comfortable with their strategy because it fits their personality and the personality they wish to convey. Which one is more likely to obtain more business? Which one can really grow a business? Which strategy is the most cost-effective? Well, let's analyze the numbers. Our example companies are both heating and air conditioning firms, but may be very much like yours. They both do repair service work, offer service agreements, and really enjoy the opportunity to change out a customer's old and inefficient heating and/or cooling unit. You may have a similar big-ticket item which you offer your customers. As mentioned, Company A calls customers when work is slow and sporadically has the technicians hand out survey response cards until business picks back up, at which time there's scant little time to do all that. After all, we have more work than we can handle. When the cards that are collected come back, they ultimately sit around the office for a year or two and are eventually thrown away. A customer uses the services of Company A about once every other year. The job ticket amount is actually rather good. The customer was not displeased, but not delighted with this contractor either. After a couple of years, the customer turns over, lost to a competitor. Company B continually asks his customers about the performance of his company and also asks if they will do business with them again, and would they refer them to a friend. This company also has made it easy for the customer to call him personally if there are any concerns, comments, or complaints. This contractor keeps his customers for a long time. The following analysis assumes that a contractor will perform breakdown service for a customer every other year. Industry-recognized averages show that a breakdown service call is approximately $150, and even higher if no maintenance work is performed annually. In our analysis, we expect a sale to the customer of $3,500 in year four, but could have occurred at any time during a 10-year timeline analysis. While performing a customer satisfaction follow-up does not assure the sale of a service agreement, a case could be made that a few agreements are sold to unhappy customers. Happy customers will also refer friends and acquaintances, so a referral factor may be considered. With a service agreement, the revenue for each repair may be less, but total revenue increases because there is contracted revenue. Without satisfied customers, the life of the relationship is severely shortened and also potential for long-term business. The profit per year, per customer, illustrates the drastic impact of the value of the customer. Company B maintains a sound customer marketing strategy. During a 10-year period, Company B will perform a repair service for a customer every other year at $150 each, an annual service agreement at $190 per year, and a big-ticket replacement at $3,500. The 10-year total revenue for that customer is $6,150, or a per-year average of $615. Company A may do two calls, one in the first year and one in the third year of the relationship, and may even receive a higher per-ticket revenue, let's say $250. After the second call in year three, though, this customer decides to take his business elsewhere because Company A just didn't show enough interest in the business. The life of this customer was 3 years with a total revenue of $500 or an average annual revenue of $167. With an assumed gross margin of 55% and an overhead of 45%, the profit per year per customer calculates to $16.70 for Company A and $68.07 for Company B. This is not too unlike how a supermarket views customers in their trade area. Perhaps you heard of the supermarket owner Stu Leonard that Tom Peters refers to in his speeches. He tells of the lady who brings in the burnt turkey carcass back to the supermarket the day after Thanksgiving and complains that the turkey was no good. Now, Stu sold literally thousands of turkeys that Thanksgiving season, and only this little lady came back to complain. You know she ruined the turkey, but Stu gladly gave her a new one since she spent thousands of dollars at the store every year. She also has many friends in the area. I'm sure she told everyone how nice and caring a store Stu Leonard ran. Is your business similar? Probably is. Look at the total financial ramification of your decisions. What is the smart business strategy? Going after new and unknown customers, or taking care of old friends who will be your best profit generators and your best salespeople? A simple analysis of Company A and B reveal a drastic difference in bottom line profits. Do the same analysis in your business. The results of customer marketing will astound you and be profitable.
We hope this edition of the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month has given you many new ideas to help you run your company more effectively. Along with this month's tape, you also receive several other things. There is a short summary of the tape you just heard, a brief outline of the program for quick review, and you will also find a customer response card enclosed. There is a place on the card for your comments on this tape, as well as space for suggestions you would like to make for topics on future tapes. The response card is postage paid, so please write down a few comments and drop it in the mail. We would love to hear from you. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.